21 minutes past the hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and thanks for listening. Otherwise, it'd just be kind of like the Wizard of Oz sitting here talking to myself, you know? Every week, we go to our go-to guy on election integrity. He is Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com. And let me cue the orchestra here, because we want to kick off with an exclusive Brad Blog report today, a breakthrough in the election deadlock, or at least the questions raised about the validity of the election in District 50 in San Diego, where Brian Bilbray was declared the winner in a very close election with Francine Busby. We've been talking about this over the last few weeks or so. Brad, welcome to the program today, and your work is starting to produce some results.
Well, thank you for noticing, sir. I appreciate that. It is, and, you know, one day we'll be able to share with you all of the results that it seems to be producing behind the scenes. Suffice to say, there is still much more to come on this story.
All right, but a hand count has been requested in San Diego in District 50, and as you reported Brad Blog today, the individual who has come forward identifies herself as a Republican and says she's doing this on behalf of the winner.
Well, you've almost got that right.
Okay, straighten me out.
I will. She actually does not identify herself as a Republican. A story in the North County Times, the reporter asked her about her her party affiliation. She said she's a Democrat. But here's what happens. The California election code allows an elector to file for a hand count, in this case, under the recount provisions. But when doing so, they're forced to name a candidate on whose behalf they are making this request. Now,
okay.
Why the law is like that, why it even matters, I'm not sure. And as she told me, and actually as she writes in her hand count request, she is filing this hand count request on behalf of all the voters of the United States of America, the state of California, the county of San Diego, and the voters of the California's 50th district. But, she writes, because the rule of law is important and because the California Election Code requires that I name a candidate on whose behalf I'm filing, I will name candidate Brian Bilbray.
All right. So this great American is Barbara Gail Jacobson.
That's right.
And she has filed this document. You have a copy of it posted at Brad Blog on the link. And it is to Michael Haas, who we have referred to on the program before. He's the Registrar of Voters in San Diego County. Now, what about the $130,000 tab for the hand count that she's requested? Who's on the hook for that?
Yeah, well, she will be. So we're trying to help her out here, and we're collecting money on this at velvetrevolution.us. But I should add now, the way the California Election Code works is that essentially registrars can name just about any price they want for a hand count to make it, in this case, prohibitively expensive. $130,000 is a lot of money considering, we already paid to have this thing counted once and they didn't do it then.
Well, couldn't we outsource this and save a lot of money in India?
Yeah, let them take care of it. It'd be a lot cheaper. Frankly, we could outsource it and send it to Orange County, where apparently a recount only costs 18 cents per vote, where in San Diego they've decided they want to charge nearly a dollar a vote.
Really?
Yeah. And next, what is it, up in Mendocino, I think someone has, or Marin County, one of those, they were getting quotes for something like 40 cents a vote, so that's about half the price of the San Diego total.
Well, maybe if we put this up on eBay, maybe we could get some bids going.
Yeah, well, the problem is that there's no statewide standard for how much can be charged. So if you've got an election official like Michael Haas down there who really apparently just makes up the rules as he goes along, he can charge whatever he wants. So now he's charging the quote that we've seen back from the registrar's office says $6,000 per day for anywhere from estimated 24 to 30 working days. Now, the North County Times apparently has received a completely different number from the registrar's office. that is about a little more than half of that amount. So, you know, clearly they're making this up as they go along.
Now, Brad, did you or any other election activist have contact with Barbara Gail Jacobson before she filed this?
I did indeed, yeah.
Okay.
I did indeed.
And what kind of counsel did you give her? And it appears she got legal advice because the letter is pretty carefully crafted.
Yes, and the original version of that letter was actually drafted by an attorney and some election integrity activists who frankly know a hell of a lot more about this than I do. Also, I know helped craft that letter because, as you'll note in the letter, there is a whole bunch of items that are requested prior to any hand count being done. A hand count's not going to do any good if you have no idea, for example, what the chain of custody on the ballots themselves have been for this past month. So there's a whole bunch of items that are being requested. It makes no sense to do a hand count until they, you know, feel good about the integrity of these ballots and they know where to begin hand counting, because that is up to the requester, which precincts and so forth that she wants to have hand counted.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, folks who know a lot more about the California election law and so forth than I jumped in and they said, well, you know, we need to make sure we have this information before we do a count and that information before we do a count.
And we got to go to a break. This was filed on July 5th. Any reaction from Michael Haas so far?
Other than this, to
estimate the cost.
Yes, other than nothing I don't think worth reporting. North County Times says he's out of town right now, so...
Maybe he's helping count ballots in Mexico.
That's what he's doing.
We'll take a break and return with Brad Friedman. Visit bradblog.com and read this information for yourself. You can join us with a question or comment toll-free, 888-579-2540, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit my website, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540. Sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Tom Hartman.
You go to MerleHaggard.com, the guy who did the song Okie from Muskogee, and right there on his site is him doing a music video of his song where he's saying basically no to the Bushes.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
I'm telling you, when you've lost Merle Haggard, then you know George W. Bush is in serious, serious trouble. When country music fans turn against the president, the most conservative part of America is gone, and they're not going to come back.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and this is how we do it. We're talking with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, a potential breakthrough in the contested election, the one that so many different groups have declared no confidence in. This was the special election to fill out the term of convicted Congressman Duke Cunningham, and it was a face-off on June 6 when other voters were doing primary election duties. And, in fact, the people in District 50 voted in a primary and a special election for the same two people at the same time. But the questions that have been raised by Brad Friedman and others have finally gained some traction. As we discussed in our preceding segment, a great woman in San Diego, Ms. Jacobson, has filed an official request for a hand count with the Registrar of Voters. And now let's talk about that price tab, Brad. I've got a screen up here at velvetrevolution.us, and I'm committing to put in $50. I'm not having a great year, but this is important to me, and I will put up $50, and I hope that some of our listeners will match or exceed that. And is Velvet Revolution the best place that we can help support this?
Yeah, right now, all of the money that we are able to collect at velvetrevolution.us will go towards this effort, whatever it is, the hand count, the legal fees, everything. They're currently trying to get organized there on the ground in San Diego. You know, these are activists. This isn't the DNC, unfortunately. So they're trying to get organized, set up a bank account and so forth for this, and then everything that we bring in the meantime will go on over to them. I believe PDA is also collecting money for this effort, and they've asked their Progressive Democrats of America. They have asked their, I think, their national list to help them out in this regard. PDA is essentially moving up election protection to the top of their the issues to fight for across the country, and within election protection now they're moving up this Busby Bilbray thing to the top of that list because they realize this is the time to deal with November. And as I've, you know, I believe you and I have talked about this over the past few weeks, in truth, none of this is about Busby or Bilbray. I've said many times, I actually don't care who won as long as it's the person who received the most votes. But what this fight is about is to make sure that when you've got these laws that are put in place, these stopgap measures, these emergency procedures that have been put in place because we're, you know, this county down there is using the world's most hackable voting machines. It's an entirely DeBolt county. They put in special laws, and those laws were ignored then when those voting machines were sent home with poll workers for days and weeks prior to the election. Now that, you know, they're incredibly hackable. In just a couple of minutes' time, they can be tampered with, no password necessary. And so what good in the world do all of these rules and laws and the jockeying and so forth that I know you and I have been talking about for the last months concerning the use of these machines, the certification for these machines, the way they're used. What good does it do if you then completely throw it out the window and do anything you want anyway, which is what they did in San Diego? So you fight for this stuff now and hopefully send the message come November, when 435 of these things happen on the same day, that this cannot be done. This will not be tolerated. And we expect you to, A, take the rule of law seriously, and B, when you run an election, you've got to run it in such a way that you can finish the election and prove to us that the count is accurate. The burden should not be on us to prove to you that it wasn't.
Indeed. And that's another important point here. I realize that Michael Haas, the Registrar of Voters in San Diego County, has bristled at the criticisms that you have leveled, and he has defended his election workers by essentially saying, gosh, they wouldn't commit a felony, would they?
Right.
And I'm sorry, that is exactly backwards. It is his job to conduct these elections and certify them in a manner that is consistent with confidence among the citizenry.
That's right.
And we do not have confidence, and it's his job to fix that, and I'm glad that you're there looking over his shoulder, but that should not be necessary.
No, it shouldn't be, but frankly, that sort of thing is really at the core of our democracy. Remember, the Constitution and the way that our government is set up is not based on trust. It is based on checks and balances. It's based on vigilance. And this is a matter of being vigilant and holding these guys accountable when they, you know, when they just violate the law. And you know, nobody, and I got to give credit to election director down there. I believe he's been on your show, Ion Sancho, down
sure.
in Florida,
mm-hmm.
who has come out and said, election officials are not to be trusted. And he's an election official.
Yeah.
You know, he's a heroic election official. He was at the very heart of the 2000 election. In 2004, I believe, he ran maybe the only election in history where there was no overvotes and no undervotes. As I recall, he ran a perfect election. This guy knows what he's talking about, and he says, nobody should trust me. Nobody should have to trust me.
And, Brad, let's contrast that with the reaction that we got when we invited the Monterey County Registrar of Voters onto this program last year, Tony Anchundo, who left in a cloud of mystery, some suspicion about his use of a county credit card. He told us when you quizzed him about the machines and about the paper record being kept and the ability to reconcile those two, at a certain point he just said, well, you're going to have to trust me.
Yes, I know. I know. He said, well, to a certain extent, you're going to have to trust me. And then 3 weeks later, he was on the lam for I don't even know what he did. What did he run up a credit card?
It was a little more than 3 weeks. It was about 6 months later. And over that time, we called him repeatedly, asking him to honor his agreement to
return
to the program to give us a post-election analysis of the use of the electronic machines in Monterey County. He stonewalled that until he quietly resigned. And, again, I don't know the details, only that there were questions raised about his use of a county credit card.
So,
trust me.
Exactly. It underscores it perfectly. If we were making that up, people wouldn't believe it, but it really happened that way. And that's what we're talking about. And we shouldn't be in a case where we have to do that. And, you know, and that's what the point that I've been trying to make. I've certainly been trying to make it to Francine Busby, to the folks at the DNC, at the DCCC, and so forth, that you can do all the election protection you want come this November. But if you're not in here now dealing with this Busby Bilbray situation now, you can forget about it, because this sends a signal that, hey, do whatever you want.
Right.
And nobody's gonna question you on it. And more and more people are figuring it out that you can't do that. But we can talk, if we have some time, about this extraordinary editorial from Catherine Cryer just a few days ago. So people are figuring it out. It appears to be, however, the party, the Democrats, who don't get it. And, you know, I posted something just a few days ago, which I think should be alarming to everybody, that a blogger wrote a piece that based on some inside information that the Republicans, the GOP themselves, are planning in close elections this fall to declare electronic voting fraud. They won't be afraid. They're not. They don't have that same fear gene that of being called a sore loser or anything else. They will get out there and fight and do whatever they have to. Frankly, even if they have to make stuff up. But they'll be happy to come out and, you know, quote guys like me, quote Democrats, quote all sorts of progressives, and say, look, they've been telling us for years these machines are hackable. Well, we believe they are, and we're going to, challenge elections based on that. And, you know, unfortunately, the Democrats are going to be caught napping again this November if that happens.
Well, and it is unfortunate that's the case. I will offer this, that Marcy Winograd was on an hour ago. She, of course, was the challenger to Jane Harman, and she is a leader of progressive Democrats in California, a very strong advocate of free and fair elections in our country.
Yeah.
And she did acknowledge the situation there in San Diego. Of course, she's not on the inner circles of the Democratic Party leadership.
She's anything but, unfortunately. And, she was challenging that inner circle when she ran against very powerful Democrat Jane Harman in the primaries recently. She, along with PDA, has been terrific on this. They get it. You know, folks at the local level seem to get it. We've got folks working on this effort now from PDA, from Move On, from DFA, all of these groups. But the national organizations, with the exception of PDA, have been silent. The party has been silent publicly. I can only hope that's going to change.
Yeah.
Because this is serious like a heart attack. And if they are afraid to come out for whatever reason to stand for electoral integrity, well, you know, I'm afraid they're going to see a lot of people who are looking elsewhere to cast their vote this year.
Brad, I'm going to do something unusual. In fact, I've never done this before. I am going to slam the doors here on our imaginary studio audience, and we're not going to open the doors and let you out until you commit to making a contribution, large or small, to velvetrevolution.us to help pay for this exorbitant $130,000 tab for the hand count in San Diego District 50. Now, Brad, I'm at velvetrevolution.us. And there's a please donate to VR. Is that where I should click, and will that money be earmarked for District 50?
That's it. Everything that is coming in right now to VR is being earmarked for this effort. As I say, if they have a problem, if the hand count does not go forward, that money will be used for other related legal efforts that I can't yet talk about now because they're in the works, but... there will be further legal action taken on this case, and so every penny of that will go towards those efforts. Period.
All right, I'm not going to reopen the doors until I see some activity here, so call the program. Let me know you're willing to make a pledge to contribute. You can send me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com, and as soon as I have some sense that people are rallying and responding, we'll let you out, okay?
There you go.
We're going to take a break and return. We'll go to the phones. We've got some callers on the line. If you want to join us, 831-899-5792. That's the Central Coast line, or call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Now, KRXA 540. One more look at traffic. Here is Metro's Art Roberts.
Peter, good evening. Prindale, southbound 101 before Echo Valley Road. Will they ever get this stalled dump truck out of the way? The right lane is still blocked. Prindale, southbound 101 before Echo Valley Road. Rio Del Mar, southbound 1 before Rio Del Mar Boulevard. Solo vehicle crash. The left lane is blocked. In Corralitos, Freedom Boulevard at Corralitos Road, report of a two-car crash there. And in Live Oak in Santa Cruz, Soquel Avenue at 7th Avenue, an accident involving a transit bus and a car. Lanes are blocked there. Santa Cruz northbound 1, Emmeline Avenue off-ramp is closed for long-term road work through December of 2007. Your alternate Morrissey Boulevard in Santa Cruz off of southbound Highway 1. And traffic for KRXA from Orkin Pest Control. Don't let ants attack your suites before you do. Call the Orkin man. He's been fighting ant invasions for over 100 years. Protect your home. Protect your family. For help, call 1-800-ORKINMAN.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Working with my buddy Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Trying to wake up everybody about election problems.
Wake up everybody, almost sleeping in bed. Fall back with thinking, thinking here. World has changed so very.
Now, during that last commercial break, I logged on to velvetrevolution.us, and I've already got a receipt back for my $50 contribution. It's easy, it's painless, and you can put it off till next month by using your credit card. And I hope I can set an example for the rest of you, and I'll open the doors here to our studio audience when we get a little bit better response. Let's go to the phones. Chris and Salinas, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, and say hi to Brad.
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, I was hope. Aren't you going to be at Democracy Fest in
San Diego? I am indeed going to be there.
And you have a good opportunity to talk to Howard Dean about this voting situation, hopefully.
You're a smart man. I'll leave it at that.
Anyway, I'm not going to be able to make it, but my mom's going to go, so I'll tell her to say hi to you.
Oh, good. Please do tell her to come by and say hello. Yeah, Howard Dean will be speaking there, and I do hope that he and I get a chance to chat about what's going on. I understand he's none too happy about it.
Yeah. Also, Tony Anchundo, supposedly, from what I hear, was indicted on 40 counts of fraud for charging $70,000 on the county credit card. So there's another.
Maybe he was ordering wireless devices to hack into his own electronic voting machine.
You know,
hey, Chris, if you could find that article and email it to me, I'd love to see it.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
If that's his integrity, and it's not the right word, I guess, but what is it that he is doing under the voting, you know, and making everything secure, you know, right. that. I have to question that.
So. You bet. It certainly raises important questions about his ethics and the stout statement he made that we ought to just trust him because he had so much integrity that he wouldn't let elections be manipulated under his watch. Chris, thanks for the call.
All right.
And also Brad, who is often too shy to talk about some of his own media appearances, he's going to be featured on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Ring of Fire radio show this weekend, which is now heard on KRXA in Monterey on Sunday afternoons. So we'll be looking forward to that, Brad, and thanks for tipping us off. Jake in Eureka, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Peter. Hey, Brad.
Hey.
You know, you guys are making great points like usual, and especially the one about the national Democratic leadership being missing in action on the issue of election fraud. You know, I can't believe here we are. It's almost November, and they're just quiet on the issue. I mean, what do you think is going to happen in 2006? Same thing that happened in 2004. You know, the Republicans are going to try to steal the election again. If the Democrats aren't talking about it before the election, well, the media is not going to pay any attention to them after the election. I just like to point out something I read by Harvey Wasserman, who I know is a regular guest on your program, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote something a couple months back where he showed how different respondents viewed the 2004 election. And basically what it was that 99% of people who use Fox News as their primary source of television news believe that the election was legitimate. But everybody else who chose from different networks, the majority of those people thought that the 2004 election was, in fact, stolen. So why the Democrats are so quiet on this issue, why they're so scared to bring up election fraud, you know, are they afraid they're going to offend swing voters? Because if you look at the polls, most people have come around to the position that the Republicans are just flat-out corrupt, and they have been stealing these elections.
Any theory there?
What's that?
Do you have a theory there about what Jake's talking about?
Well, yeah, actually the poll he's talking about was a Zogby poll taken in the state of Pennsylvania. But there's a whole bunch of evidence to sort of back up what he's saying. You know, amongst them, we also saw Lou Dobbs. It was a week or two ago now, had a snap poll, but it was very telling, on CNN, asking, you know, should these electronic voting machines be done away with until the security can be guaranteed? And it was 97-3. So when you hear these Democrats, the DNC folks, saying that, this is going to scare away voters or this isn't a winning issue, I don't know where the hell they're coming up with that from. It seems to be nuts. It seems to me that right now, look, the money that's being collected, for these for this Busby Bilbray thing and to fight this legally, that's money that might otherwise be going to candidates and to the DNC themselves. They ought to be out in front on this. There is no reason, as the caller says, to support this notion that it is not a good issue for Democrats. I think if they stood up for electoral integrity, period, I think it would show that they've got a backbone, and it might demonstrate that this is the one issue that they can stand up on.
I think you're generally correct, but my $50 could not go to the DNC as long as Barbara Boxer is going to campaign on behalf of Joe Lieberman in Connecticut.
Well, you're right.
But I do take your point. Jake, do you have a loose 10 or 20 that you could send over to velvetrevolution.us?
Oh, sure. I'll send it your way. And I'd just like to point out, you guys, of course, you have a great program as always, and keep up the good work, Brad. Keep fighting, because, you know, you gotta tell those Democrats that they need to pay attention, because if they don't do something about this election fraud issue, you know, they're never going to be able to win another election again, basically.
I hear you. I'm telling them I'm going to keep up the fight, even though I'm going to try to sneak in a vacation pretty soon. But I'm going to keep fighting,
Brad,
anyway.
Hey, and here's an email that just came in. Ruth and Carlotta's pumping up $50 to match me. Thank you, Ruth. I'm going to open those doors sooner or later. Thank you, Jake. Now to Pat in Santa Cruz. Hello, Pat. You're on the air.
Hi there, guys. Keep up the good work. I watch you all. I listen to you all the time. And anyway, I know we don't have much time. I was on my way home. I didn't catch where I send the money. I don't have a lot of money, but I am going to send you something.
Thank you, Pat. VelvetRevolution.us.
Okay.
And there's a donate button on the upper right.
Okay.
It says donate to VR right now or something like that.
Okay.
And that
will go to this Busby thing?
Yes, it will. And it takes less than 90 seconds to do it. I just did it about 10 minutes ago.
Great. I'm almost on my way, but I have one more question.
Sure.
I called you about a week ago or so when something other about this Busby thing came up. I think Brad was on the show too. And my brother lives in San Diego, so after talking to you, I was outraged, and I had to get him all riled up. And he told me then that nothing is going. He doesn't hear anything. He doesn't read anything. Nothing is going on in San Diego that he knows about, and he's a pretty aware person. So I just called him before I called you, and he wants to know: are there names that you could give me that I could give him of people that he could contact about this whole Busby thing? Besides Velvet Revolution, I will give him that, and I'm sure he too will send a donation.
All right, go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, I will tell you, the San Diego Union Tribune wrote a horrible article on this last week. I would suggest you contact them and have them follow up and get the story correct. I will be happy to talk to them and tell them what's actually going on so they don't have to make stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
As well, the North County Times
also in San Diego, wrote a slightly better article today about the recount.
Is it in today's paper?
What's that?
In today's paper?
In today's North County Times.
North County Times. Okay, I'll tell him that here.
Contact the media there, the local media, the newspapers, certainly the radio stations. By the way, Roger Hedgecock down there, big right-winger on the radio in San Diego, was talking about this with me and is on my side here. So the TV stations, the radio stations, let them know you demand accountability in your elections. This way, the way that Michael Haas has been running election after election down there is just an embarrassment to the city.
It's an embarrassment. Pat, thanks for your call.
Tell your brother we got to run, but I appreciate your checking in and also the networking you're doing. You're a good activist. Now, one more. Josh and Salinas, you're on the PBC show.
Hey, Peter.
Hi, Josh.
Thanks for the show. I'm disappointed in you saying that we would actually wait until you told us to donate. Wait until this threat.
Right. I'll open the door soon.
No, I was champing at the bit, really waiting for someone to demand a recount. And this is an opportunity where there are actual ballots that can actually be counted if they're the actual ballots that people voted with.
And that's a fortunate thing. Again, as we discussed earlier, we're going to have to see what the chain of custody is on this thing. But they've got the ballots right there. All they have to do is count it. And, of course, preferably, we'd love it if a judge told Michael Haas, because he broke the law the way he used decertified voting machines, to make him count it on his own dime instead of charging folks like you and me to do this sort of thing.
Josh, we're out of time. Thanks for the call. We didn't get to mention the election in Mexico where 827,000 ballots had no mark for president. The margin of alleged victory, some 200,000 votes out of 41 million cast. We also didn't get to talk about Catherine Cryer. Read about it at bradblog.com. And the article in Hustler magazine. You now have permission to pick up a copy of Hustler, the September issue, because there's a great story about Clint Curtis, and I believe it was written by Brad Friedman.
Oh, he's very good. Yeah, you can read that online, pornography-free, if you prefer. More news. I know you got to go, but Clint Curtis has just been endorsed. He's running for Congress. He's been endorsed by the labor workers at NASA, where Tom Feeney's wife works.
Beautiful. Brad, keep up the good work. Take a vacation when you can.
Yeah, oh, sure.
We'll talk to you soon.
See you later.
Until we meet again.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations.